with the celebrations for the 300th anniversary of the first Peel in 1715, we looked to do something tangible and exciting. And we wanted to create a facility where ringers could learn both about the history of St. Peter Mancroft and why it's important, bearing in mind the first peals of Grantor Triples and Stedman Triples were also rung at St. Peter Mancroft, and also to bring ringing to a new audience in an exciting and an innovative way.
Project Pickled Egg is well worth looking up. It's, as you say, a multi-year project that looks at, from first principles, how should we structure a set of methods that one might progress through and learn things in place of the standard eight.
Hello, I'm Kathy Booth. As we start season three of the Fun with Bells podcast, I'm going to be talking to Simon Rudd and Nikki Thomas about the Mancroft Ringing Discovery Centre. I'm also going to be introducing Matt Austin from my North American sister podcast, Trebles Going, as he interviews Don Morrison about blue lines and pickled eggs. Today I have two people with me to talk about the Mancroft Ringing Discovery Centre in Norwich, how and why it was set up and its plans for the future. We'll also talk about what they've been doing during COVID, which might inspire you for your ringing now and recruitment plans for when the COVID restrictions are lifted. Firstly, Simon Rudd, who is the chairman of the management committee for the centre. Hello, Simon.
Good morning.
Hello. And Nikki, who is the manager and also general secretary of the Norwich Diocesan Association of Ringers. Hello, Nikki.
Hello.
Hi. So my first question is, Simon, can you tell me what Norwich's claim to fame is in ringing circles?
I always tell the same story at this point. I learned to ring near Colchester in Essex at around 10 years old. And very soon after I learned to ring, I started to buy the ringer's notebook and diary. And I've had one every year since. And right in the front page of that diary was a list of significant performances in the history of ringing. And at the top of that list is the 2nd of May, 1715, Plain Bob Triples, St. Peter Mancroft, Norwich. And that's the first peal for which there is a full documentary record. And so right from the age of 10, I knew about St. Peter Mancroft, even though at 10 years old, I didn't know where Norfolk was, let alone where Norwich was. But I knew all about St. Peter Mancroft. And its claim to fame is the home of the first peal.
Thank you. Nikki, can you describe the Mancroft Ringing Discovery Centre for us?
Yes, it's a very exciting place. It's where you can go and ring really, really easy bells. We've got 8 simulated bells with 8 laptops, and you can go in there and you can practice individually, or you can practice as a team, whichever you'd rather do, although not at the present times. But you can go in there, practice methods with Abel, and it's just huge fun. And we've been offering training sessions for new ringers. We've taught ringers to ring there, and it just makes teaching so much easier.
It's now complete with some fantastic exhibition materials. The church were very kind when we launched the project to donate the southwest corner of the church as exhibition space for us. And so that is now complete with an exhibition about ringing at Mancroft and ringing in general. And also we've got some very polished looking exhibition materials in the training centre itself, in the old ringing chamber. And it looks fantastic. So when time permits, you must all come and see it.
And why was there a need for the centre in Norwich, and how was it set up?
Well, St. Peter Mancroft bells have a reputation. They've been ringing out across the city for 250 years nearly, but they have a reputation for not being the easiest bells to ring. With a 60-foot draft and weighing 3,700 weight, they weren't ideally suited for teaching people. And so there has never been a tradition of teaching ringing at St. Peter Mancroft. With the celebrations for the 300th anniversary of the first peal in 1715, we looked to do something tangible and exciting. And we wanted to create a facility where ringers could learn both about the history of St. Peter Mancroft and why it's important, bearing in mind the first peals of Granter triples and Stedman triples were also rung at St. Peter Mancroft, and also to bring ringing to a new audience in an exciting and an innovative way. And so the plan for the training centre was formed, and after a lot of hard work and really serious fundraising, it's come to fruition and it's exceeded all my expectations for it. It really is an exciting place.
That's fantastic. And what activities were the Mancroft doing before lockdown?
We were running courses. So most of the time we were running courses for the early stages of ringing, so plain hunt courses. We also did some Bob Doubles courses. We also tried some early Bob calling, our Ladies That Call Bobs course. We were doing quite a few times. And from that, we were also branching out and using Great Yarmouth, having our novice 12 bell rings as well, where our newer ringers were getting a chance to experience 12 bell ringing. Just ringing really simple things, ringing rounds and kaleidoscope exercises on 12. And we were getting really huge numbers coming to those. The last session we had at Great Yarm, I think we had 50 people attend it, which was very, very exciting. And mostly there are new ringers as well. And they were from Norfolk. It was a really great event. And it's just such a shame everything's ground to a halt at the moment.
And you were doing outreach as well, I understand.
Yes, Richard Carter set up a schools programme. So we're going out to the schools with a portable mini ring and laptop computers and handbells, and getting the children in primary schools in the older classes to experience ringing on the Carter Campanile and writing out call changes and writing out methods and doing some lapping on handbells. And from that, we also established a junior ringing band as well. And at the moment, we've got quite a lot of children that have learnt to ring, and we had entered the youth competition. So it's a real shame that didn't take place, because that's the first time Norfolk has had enough junior ringers to be able to do that.
And there's also lunchtime sessions, is that right?
There are, yes. We were opening the centre up at lunchtime so people could come in and practice. And that was for individual practice of whatever people wanted to practice on the laptops. So you could, if you got a quarter peel coming up of a tricky method, you could come in and ring your quarter peel on Able by yourself, and then hopefully didn't make so many mistakes when it came to the real thing.
And I've also heard that you had a festival of ringing. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
That was something that we arranged with the Association of Ringing Teachers, and we picked some of the art trained teachers to come and run sessions, and we tried to make them a little bit different. So we had one which was teaching people to speak while they're ringing, which is actually surprisingly harder than it sounds. So we had, again, a 12 bell session on the Mancroft bells for the new ringers, and sessions on listen and strike. Rather than the day-long courses that art do, we broke them down into two-hour chunks and ran them in towers across Norwich.
And that was called the Learning the Ropes Festival, wasn't it?
That was the Learning the Ropes Festival in August, yes.
Where did people come from who attended it, and what were the benefits of the day?
They came from all over the country, and we had people staying for the weekend as well. And the benefit was really to meet other ringers who were at the same sort of stage. We've got a lot of ringers at the moment who've learnt as part of the Ringing Remembers campaign. And it's very easy when you're ringing at your own tower to feel that you're the only ringer and at that standard, and everybody else is an expert. But bringing everyone together and giving them a chance to meet other ringers at the same standard, it was good to just know you're not alone out there.
This is a quick break to thank our sponsors, the Association of Ringing Teachers, ART. You can find out more at bellringing.org, where there are resources to support your ringing, to find out how to learn to ring, or to learn to teach. Now back to the episode. That's good. Simon, I wanted to ask you, I understand that there's a 12 bell band at Mancroft that takes part in striking competitions. Can you tell me a bit about how the Mancroft Centre helps with them bringing on new ringers into that band and how it's developed?
Well, I think you've got all the tools to be able to practice with a perfect team of ringers. So with the best will in the world, your team of 12 bell ringers might turn up for a practice and not all be on good form on a particular day. But to turn up and use a bell with one of our laptops and ring a bell with 11 people who are all in a really good mood and all on really top form and who are all going to place their bells in exactly the right place sharpens you up and gives you the ideal opportunity to test yourself against the very best that you could get and improve your own performance and therefore help the team.
And what's your observation on the impact of Mancroft on the wider Norfolk area?
We've been lucky in that people have come in from across the county, both to attend courses that we've held, but also to come and help. When you're running a centre like that, the human resource requirement is quite critical, and you need a constant supply of people who are willing to give their time to come and plod through 120s of bob doubles all day long, or to ring call changes and or do anything to help the students. And we're lucky in that people are very, very enthusiastic about giving their time to help with courses. We could always do with some more, but we do get quite a lot of people who come and help us.
And Nikki, did you want to add something there?
I was just going to say that it's quite interesting that we've taught the people that we've taught to ring at MRDC, they haven't actually been for Mancroft. They've been for all over the county and also other counties as well. And we've taught in excess of 60 ringers to handle a bell. That they have also been learning at their own towers as well. But we've been able to do quite a lot of bell handling with them. And yeah, it's over 60 people that have gone through the centre at that initial stage of handling. And as I say, that really did tie in with the Ringing Remembers campaign. And those ringers have progressed and have come through the courses as well, the initial plane hunts and foundation skills courses as well that we've done.
That's great. And now I want to talk to you about what's been happening since the lockdown started. Obviously, Mancroft had shut. So what did you two carry on ringing?
Well, I think I realised quite early on that we might be in this current situation for quite a long time. And so I thought I'd set about finding out about what alternatives there were and discovered Ringing Room fairly early on in lockdown. And so a bit of an early adopter of Ringing Room, got in touch with a few friends and said, I found this. This is really good. We should try it. And it's grown from there, really. In all honesty, I think I'm doing more ringing now than I was doing before lockdown started. Quite regularly, I'm ringing two or three times a day with various groups of people. And some of the ringing we're doing is very challenging. So I'm feeling personally challenged. My handbell ringing has developed quite a lot during lockdown. And I find the whole process quite enjoyable. Of course, that there are the situations where the internet doesn't always behave the way it should, but it adds in a new raft of reasons why things might not go so well. But when things go well, it's as equally as satisfying as ringing in the tower or ringing with real handbells. And I'm enjoying my ringing as much as I ever have, really.
So when you say ringing with handbells, and yet you're doing it on Ringing Room, sorry, could you just explain that?
Yes, of course. For quite a long time, there have been available motion controllers, which Graham John sourced from America, I believe. And so you could use those with a bell on a laptop. And so you could replicate the motion of ringing real handbells and have that replicated in the sound that's produced through a bell. So you could practice ringing whatever you wanted using the computer package on your laptop. There are a lot of very clever ringers around us, and they very quickly adapted the technology that allowed motion controllers to work with Abel to work with Ringing Room. And so all of a sudden, I could be sitting here at home in Norfolk, and as I do, regularly be in touch with, for example, Jeff Ladd, who's in Vernay-les-Bains in France, and maybe Peter Randall, who's in Oldham, and other people from across the country. And whereas that would be almost logistically expensive and impossible for us all to get together, to ring together in a real world. We can meet together and see each other and ring online and set ourselves challenges and practice as often as we want. So in many ways, I'm seeing more of more people in lockdown than I did before.
Ah, excellent. And Nikki, what have you been doing in lockdown?
Well, I've been improving Simon's conducting abilities with my handbell ringing, I think it's fair to say. I do enjoy handbell ringing, but I really, really couldn't see what I was doing. So I've been doing it for a very long time, really since I left school, on and off in bursts of enthusiasm. But in lockdown, I got a chance to ring with a group from Mancroft, and we've been practicing each weekday since then. It's just the highlight of the day, really, and it's something to do. And my ringing has definitely improved. And I've gone from being unable to really see what I was doing, and I've now called a few quarters in hand as well, which has been great. And I've also got a group together of people who wanted to learn handbell ringing, one of which is one of our Ringing Remembers recruits. And she's also rung a quarter peal. So we managed to do a quarter peal with two people who'd learnt during lockdown after 6 weeks of handbell ringing. We managed to score a quarter peal, which was, it's great. It's really, really good. And we've had a lot of fun doing it. So we've been meeting online. And since we've been able to meet in person, then we've been able to ring real handbells as well.
And are you doing that socially distanced?
Of course.
Of course. What are you personally looking forward to after, you know, all the COVID rules are relaxed?
I think just ringing on 12. Mancroft's bells haven't rung out as a 12 since something like the 19th of March. And so hearing all 12 bells ringing from the tower is something I'm very much looking forward to, as I guess most towers where they're only ringing 3, 4, or 5 bells out of a much larger number, feeling the same, to hear a full octave ringing out rather than maybe 1, 3, 5, 7 or something like that is something we are all looking forward to. And to ring for more than 15 minutes.
Yes. Nikki, is that the same for you, or would you like to amplify that?
Yes, getting back to normal ringing, ringing at Mancroft will be great, but also out in the county as well. My South Walsham band haven't been able to meet other than online because our rope circle is really small. And so we had a busy practice with a lot of people attending. We also had a junior practice as well. So we were ringing at South Walsham a lot, and it just suddenly went silent. And that's really, really sad. And it would be great just to get back again and to work with the schools and to get the juniors ringing again and to be able to continue with the work we were doing. The Norwich Diocesan Association was having events which were getting more and more people to. So like I was saying, the Novice 12 Bells, it would be great to get back to those again. And the ringing festivals, it would just be lovely to see people and be able to ring together in larger groups.
And what are the plans to get the Mancroft back up and running?
Small steps at the moment. We're open for individual practice. We can have 2 people practicing at a time at the moment. So that we can do while we remain in the current tier that we're in. Hopefully our COVID cases won't escalate, so we have to close again. But if they do, we can go back to ringing online. And it would just be nice to be able to teach again and get our new ringers, because there has been a big gap in Norfolk of teaching people to ring. And we really were starting to flourish and get a lot of new members. So it'd be nice just to get that back again.
There's going to be a big need for training nationwide after lockdown. How could other ringers copy some of the ideas that you've outlined that you do at Mancroft?
There are lots of simulators across the country. Indeed, there might be quite a few that are not used currently, but I think it's a great resource. We have got 8 training bells to use with our equipment, but there are lots of instances where appealer bells can be silenced for practice and training courses can be held. I think just needs the enthusiasm of a few key individuals to get behind and say, right, let's make this happen and get together and get groups organised and make things happen. Yes, I think there will be some attrition following lockdown, because there will be undoubtedly some ringers who don't come back to ringing when the new normal finally arrives. And we need to do quite a lot to encourage some new recruit to ringing of all ages. And it can be done. It can be done.
Do you need a big centre like you have?
I don't think you do. A small setup can be perfectly adequate for getting people to handle a bell. And if you've got the right laptop and equipment, you can teach people method ringing. So no, a massive setup isn't really required.
I was just thinking that Chagford in Devon is a good example of where a teaching centre is taking place. They've got a lovely ring of eight bells, and John, who's the ringing master there, is a very good teacher. And they've got two training bells, so they're able to teach children from the local school. And John's very enthusiastic and works with the local community, and he was training a lot of people prior to lockdown as well. And I think that shows you that you don't need eight training bells, but he's got two. And I think that's really, really helped them recruit their new ringers.
And what about the mini ring that you have? There's other mini rings across the country. Could those be used more than they are?
We've used those out in the schools to introduce children to ring. And actually, just prior to lockdown, we were getting inquiries from local schools to come back and visit the centre. And that's really what we've set out to do, was use the mini ring as an introduction and then to be able to teach the children in the centre afterwards. And it's just a shame it came to a grinding halt.
Yes. Oh dear. It sounds like the Mancroft's got lots of capabilities that will be all there for when we get back to the new normal. Is there anything else that you wanted to say?
Only that, yes, when restrictions, guidelines permit, the Mancroft Ringing Discovery Centre is open for anyone to come and take advantage of it. We welcome groups coming to use it. In the past, we've had, for example, local towers who said, we'd like to come and have a little practice with for playing Bob Doubles. Can you provide some helpers? We've done that on occasions. We've had local towers with their own band say, can we come and have a ring for a couple of hours? We don't need any help. We can just get on with it. Yes, that's fine. And we've organised specific practices with specific targets in mind, whether that's ringing some surprise major beyond what you're currently able to do, or ringing Bob Doubles for the first time, or whatever. It is a resource for the eastern counties and beyond, and we're very pleased to welcome people of all abilities to come and use it.
I'd say if anybody's got any ideas where they would like to, if they've got an idea of, say, a weekend ringing that they would like to take part in, Norwich is a great place to come and visit anyway. It's a really lovely city. And with the centre being right in the middle, it's ideally suited for a ringer's weekend mini break. And if we can help in providing some extra ringers to come and help bands advance. We've done that before. We've had bands from Suffolk come and visit us, and you know, with a specific task, they wanted to move on from ringing Plain Hunt to the start of playing Bob Doubles. And we're able to do that, and we can provide some expert help. So anybody who's got some ideas of what we could do, we're open to offers.
That's great. And now for something different. I've been having conversations with Matt Austin of the Trebles Going podcast recently, and here's an excerpt from a conversation that we had. Are there any particular episodes of yours that you'd like me to feature?
I think Don Morrison's on Cornwall, so the full-on episode, is interesting. It's a topic in ringing world that might generate some argument or interest. He's part of this Project Pickled Egg, which is a proposal to rethink the order in which many advanced methods are taught. There's a, if you will, a standard order. And this is a reexamination of whether or not that's a great order and whether or not that's a great collection to be looking at. So, of course, that's the sort of thing that there are many people who feel that the standard eight, they're called, are perfectly good where they are, and we shouldn't go changing things that we don't have to. And there are people who think that we're being held back by adherence to a group of methods that, with some thought, maybe it turns out that they're not the best for learning how to ring at that level. I'm not advanced enough ringer to really weigh in on it, but I'm just advanced enough to understand the challenge of learning those sorts of methods, because I'm at that level where I'm starting to try and learn the surprise methods, they're called. So his whole thing about Cornwall was, hey, let's look at what if this were the first one that people learned rather than Cambridge.
And what's involved in the discussion of why things should be taught in a certain order?
Let's see. So Project Pickled Egg is a project of the Central Council. So in terms of what we discussed, it's really some things about how you approach the method and how easy it is for someone new to this class of methods to see how the method works and to see how they're interacting with the ringers around them.
So here's an excerpt from the interview that Matt had with Don Morrison. The first thing they refer to is a blue line. A blue line is the graphic representation of the position of the bell relative to the other bells as they're being rung. You can hear the whole interview on the Trebles Going blog at www.treblesgoing.com.
Doing the work of sitting down with the paper or with the blue line and working through it on 12.
Exactly. And that actually brings up another point, which is so many people, they go to the computer, they generate a blue line, they print it, they stare at it. You won't learn a tenth as much doing that as you would if instead you started from the place notation, you wrote it out, and you drew the darn line yourself. The simple act of physically generating this thing from first principles teaches you so much about how it works and helps you memorize it. When I write out a new method that I need to learn that I've never run before, by the time I've drawn the blue line once from the place notation, I've got it three quarters memorized just from the fact that I've had to draw it and had to stand on my head and draw it backwards because of the symmetry.
I will wholeheartedly endorse that recommendation of yours. I stumbled into learning that in reverse order. I learned early in my career, with no one like you around to instruct me, that the only way I ever really felt like I understood a method was once I had looked at the blue line and worked through it enough that I could write a computer program that would generate the entire listing, which really means I was discovering for myself the place notation. I just didn't know the terminology for it.
Yep.
I recommend doing it your way rather than mine, by the way.
And the place notation, that's just a euphemism for understanding what the structure of the method is. We just happen to have a nice, convenient notation for writing it down in a very compact form that just uses key characters that we can throw around to each other really easily. But it's just notating what is the structure that's generating this method.
So now, when we think about, and you drew a distinction that we should honor, when we think about trouble dodging methods, not necessarily surprise, we don't need to constrain ourselves just to tackling surprise methods first, but we think about people tackling trouble dodging methods. For many people, their first is Cambridge. Mm-hmm. And I'd love it if you want to spend a minute or two discussing a little bit of why Cambridge isn't best as one's first major trouble dodging method.
I'll even go back and why I don't even think it's the best choice as a trouble dodging modern method. The major reason Cambridge is so popular, it becomes Cambridge is so popular. Mm-hmm. That there's a critical mass of people out there who all learned Cambridge first. And if it was good enough for me, it's good enough for you. And more importantly, if I go to a tower and they only ring one thing, that one thing's probably going to be Cambridge. Fortunately, after decades of various people now and again pushing at this, I think that may be starting to break down. Various people have tried to push at it, but Simon Linford, 3 years ago, starting Project Pickled Egg, seemed to finally get a little bit of traction.
And if I can just interrupt, for those who don't know, Simon Linford is the current president of the Central Church Council of Bell Ringers, and Project Pickled Egg is well worth looking up. It's, a multi-year project that looks at, from first principles, how should we structure a set of methods that one might progress through and learn things in place of the standard eight.
Exactly. And actually, standard eight, the
floor is yours, Don.
The primary reason the standard eight is standard has nothing to do with its quality, its variety, any reason we should want it. It's that the first Peel composition of that many methods, that was all the work that somebody put together, was of those methods. And people that were interested in Peel's of Splice Surprise Major became addicted to that particular collection of them. And no one would have picked that particular set of methods, even back then.
To be fair, one person did.
No, simply picked it because those were the ones he could assemble into a Peel, I think. I don't even think it was because he thought these were the the choicest of the available methods. Maybe I'm wrong.
If you were looking for a group of methods that are worth studying, that wouldn't be the choice.
Yeah, I think that's fair and true. Maybe some people would disagree with me, but I think that's a fair statement. So getting back to treble, dodge, and minor, how you make the transition actually depends on what your circumstances are. If you're the lone beginner in an advanced band, the world progresses in a very different way than if you're some new tower in North America that's spent the last 3 years learning to ring Bob Doubles. And by gum, we've got a local quarter of Bob Doubles now. How you get from there to surprise major or surprise minor even, is a very different path. But if you've got a case where you basically got a bunch of people that have to progress together, which I think is very common here, I think going from Bob minor and being able to ring Bob minor with a fair bit of confidence, if it's still a struggle for a band to get through a touch of Bob minor, getting beyond that's going to be tough. You really have to nail that down pretty convincingly. Then moving on through little steps that teach you some of the different skills you're going to need. So treble Bob hunting on six. Mm-hmm. Ringing Basto on six is extremely useful. And eventually get to the point where you're ringing Kent. If you're not trying to keep it straight, a lot of bands have found Oxford easier than Kent because you don't have these funny wrong places to make. The downside is the coursing order goes to pieces. So it's harder to see exactly who you're supposed to be working with. And in particular, much harder if you've got somebody that's able to put it straight, to be able to put it straight. So Kent's usually easier on that regard. And from that point, and the dodging down, and especially if you've rung Oxford, the step to Norwich surprise minor.
Thanks to my guests today, Simon Rudd and Nikki Thomas of the Mancroft Ringing Discovery Centre, and to Matt Austin for the interview and excerpt from the Trebles Going podcast. This podcast was put together by a team. Special thanks go to Anne Tansley-Thomas and John Gwynn, Leslie Belcher, Sue Hall, Nick Boyd, and the Society of Cambridge Youths for the recording of their ringing. If you are in Britain and are interested in learning to ring, then please go to ringingteachers.org, or for handbell ringers, hrgb.org.uk. Both websites have links to help you get started. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at Fun with Bells.